It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew. We're in the 27th chapter, Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to do the 27th through the 34th verse today. So please, actually down probably just to 32. And so Matthew 27, 27. So if you'd open your Bibles and prepare for the study, I'll love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us here, 217-440-4402. And if you would like to check out our website, love for you to do that. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. I'd love for you to visit there. Got many studies there. The plan of salvation is clearly stated there for you. And also our Constitution is there as well, plus many studies. And so please that you would enjoy that, come to know the Lord Jesus, and then begin that wonderful walk. And if you would like to email us, it would be fine to do it at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. And so please that you would take care of that and enjoy the study today, Matthew chapter 27. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and begin reading now with verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered into him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit upon him, they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, and they took the robe off of him and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. What a sad, sad day. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can read your precious word. And Father, sin is a terrible thing. It cost your son's life. He paid the debt for us. Thank you, Father, for your great love. Thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus, as he was willing to give his life for us. And so thankful, 3 days later, he's alive. And because of your son and through your son, dear Father, we can come right to you. Thank you, Father, for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that you have sent to us. And if we surrender to him, acknowledging that we're a sinner and we're lost, and accept your Son as our Savior, then we have the opportunity to fellowship with you day and night. Thank you, Father, for your great love. Yeah. Show all the way to that they need in the way to salvation, please. And then help them to grow each and every day closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we kind of closed it out, we have a little bit more to do here in the previous verses, which is back in 25 and 26. And it said, "Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and our children.'" Well, what brought that statement about was a result of the verses above, because Pilate could find nothing wrong with Jesus. And all the way up there in verse 22, Pilate said to them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." The governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. And then they answered, all the people. This is people that cheered Hosanna as he come into Jerusalem. And that shows you how a mob can be moved so easily. And they made this most horrible, horrible statement. And this is to all the Jewish people. His blood be on us and on our children. I am innocent of the blood. Pilate wanted nothing to do with this, but he couldn't get himself out of it. He could have, but of course we know that it was the plan from before time that Jesus would be crucified, and this was the time for him to be crucified. But we come here and his blood be up on us and our children. That guilt came very quickly, because less than 40 years from now, Titus the Roman overran the city of Jerusalem, and his soldiers shed the blood of thousands of Jews. So it was an immediate judgment. A couple of reasons we find that later on when the book of Hebrews was recorded, and I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and that was 30 years after the crucifixion. Paul wrote concerning the continual abuse of not coming to the Lord Jesus, but continuing to be religious and bringing your offerings and your sacrifices and going to the temple and waiting on the high priest and watching the priests and all these things that had been completed and finished the day Jesus died and brought life to us when he rose again 3 days later. But instead of that, they just maintained their religious acts. That was the purpose of the book of Hebrews, was to help them to understand that the two don't mix. One has been ended. The first covenant is gone. It's done. We are in the new covenant. And the new covenant is Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. No works involved. Yes, after you're saved, you should be scripturally baptized. And I'm not talking about sprinkling. I'm talking about going down into the water and coming back up out of the water. It gives a perfect picture of the old self and then the death and then the resurrection as you come back up out of the water. What a wonderful picture it is. But it should never take place till after you're saved, after you're born again, after you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, not as a baby or even as an adult. Some adults are even sprinkled today. For what? For nothing. They need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. But what happened? Number one, they made this statement here, his blood be on us and our children. So what happened in 70 AD when Rome come in and literally annihilated the city of Jerusalem? The temple, the city, and the Jews were either put to death or dispersed around the world. That was a result of two things. Number one, here, making this statement, and then also the continual worship at the temple. Made it very clear that was over, that was done. Don't continue. But they did. So God took care of it. It's gone. It's gone. But not only has the Jews suffered that great loss in 70 AD. But also, they have suffered all of their lifetime. All of their lifetime, ever since they made that statement. What a statement. His blood be on us and on our children. One thing to condemn yourself, but condemn your children? What a terrible statement. The curse has followed the Jewish nation every day since that they made this terrible statement. Let the guilt of his death be on us and on our children. The blood of Jesus has been upon the nation through all these centuries. Roman rule, they always scourged before they crucified. That's what we have here in verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 2 and 3. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 53, 2 and 3. Jesus. When we read that, of no form or comeliness, and we look at the, there's no beauty that we should desire him, I believe that Jesus was a common man, not by any means ugly. I don't like that word, but he was just a common man. There wasn't something that would draw. You know, we always, when we discuss and study back there, when Israel demanded that they have a king. And God did not want them to have a king because he said, you know, I will lead you. I will rule. No, we want to have like the rest of the nations. They have someone to tell them what to do and someone to protect them. We want that. So they gave them a king. And, of course, that was the only king before David. But that king had qualifications of tall, handsome, and that was it. Well, when we come into this section here and look at back in Isaiah there, we find that Jesus did not want someone to come to him because of his looks. And again, he was just a common man, a perfect man, but just common as far as to look upon. But here, when it shows us that no form nor comeliness, and when ye shall see him, there is no beauty that you should desire him, we could bring that right to this time here. Because after a man is scourged, there is sure nothing to look at. And yet, Rome, the soldiers, seem to delight in this. seem to delight in this. This scourging added to the very horrible death of crucifixion. Crucifixion was the ultimate, the worst. There was no greater type of death that brought pain and suffering than crucifixion. But the soldiers saw the scourging and saw this activity as something of entertainment. They claimed that, you know, he claimed, Jesus claimed he was. But they said he claimed he's king. Well, we'll make him a king. So they laughed at him. They scorned him. They mocked him. But the scourging, the whipping is very intense to the point that many, through that, do not live. They don't even get to the cross. They don't even get to be crucified because they die with the scourging. They use many things, sometimes just broken pottery, different things that they would use that was attached to the end of that leather strap. And they would give you 39 lashes. The 40th would kill you. And many times before they got to the 39th, the person died with so much pain and loss of blood. Because every time that whip would come, it would come across your shoulder, around your side, and then when they would yank it back, it would rip the flesh from you. And they called that entertainment. Now, I want you to realize that evil in man's heart has never changed. Some of the things that we see today and you hear about today, you think, how could that be? And yet these Roman soldiers were so cold that they could watch this, be a part of it, and laugh, and saw joy in it. The more pain they could inflict, the greater it was for them. So don't think anything's new under the sun. Because man is evil, and we need Jesus as our Savior. It is the only way, the only way. So please, please that you would come to the Lord Jesus and be born again. So understand that Jesus survived the scourging, and they could have, in their joy of inflicting pain upon the Lord Jesus, they could have given him more than 39 lashes. They laughed. They mocked. And then we find in verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor, this was his own staff, they took Jesus into the common hall. There's even some thought that maybe Pilate thought maybe when they begin to whip him, to scourge him, that they would see, and then they would, that would be enough. Okay, we won't crucify him. But you see, the command had already went forth. Delivered him to be crucified, verse 26 says. And so then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, probably something that was worn by a Roman general or possibly even a Roman governor, because you see, they were mocking him as king, It was something that was old, something that was used, but they put this on the Lord Jesus. He'd been beaten. He was bloody. And they placed this robe upon him. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. Crown of thorns. The prisoner, the Lord Jesus, said he was king, or we'll make him king. Look at the robe. And now he has a crown. We'll make him king, they said. The thorns are so sharp, so ugly that you cannot get close to it, because if you just barely prick your finger, if you just barely touch it, it penetrates the skin and draws blood. We have around here what they call a thorny locust. And that is a most miserable thing. If you question that there is no curse, all you have to look at that ugly, mean-looking thing. And I've always wondered, because I've never been over to Palestine, over to Jerusalem, to see what these look like. But I understand that they are worse than that. And they made a crown out of them. And they took it and they placed it upon his head. Now, any time that you make any little scratch upon your forehead, or the blood just comes forth. And this was all these painful thorns, and it kind of has almost a poison in it, because it infects your fingers if you get touched by it. And so it is placed upon the head of the Lord Jesus. They have scourged him. They've whipped him. They've torn his flesh off of him. They've put a robe upon him to mock him. Now they've planted this crown of thorns, and they've nailed it upon his head. And so, once again, they mock him. The evil heart of these soldiers, their dead heart, because you can't have any kind of compassion for anybody to do such a thing and find pleasure in it. And it would seem that these found pleasure. When they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. And then they added a reed to his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Evil. Wicked. Why would you do this to anyone? You wouldn't do this to an animal. And yet they did this to the Son of God. God himself. The scourging, that was done to every prisoner that was condemned to be crucified. The scourging was also done often, even if the crucifixion wasn't a part of it. And again, I believe that these soldiers found great joy in this. And I can't imagine your mind being so perverted that you would enjoy such a thing. And yet you look at today, nothing is new. People get pleasure in hurting people. Their mind is without God. Their soul has been so pierced with evil, either through many things, you know, television, video games, who knows what they're watching, who knows what they're seeing, that makes a person, their mind and their heart to go and be so wicked. But we find it in the hearts of these Roman soldiers. And so not only did they plant the crown of thorns upon his head and penetrate into his skin, and then they handed him a reed. And it served as a scepter. He was king. Okay. For a king needs a badge of authority and needs a something of honor. It's kingly power when you have this. And so once again, then the soldiers thought they had all power over him, and so they mocked him. They bowed their knee before him in a blasphemous reverence of some kind of honor as they were laughing at him and mocking him. Can't imagine. And they thought that this prisoner that they were mocking couldn't begin to touch him. Nothing he can do to hurt us. We're having fun with him as we put the crown of thorns, as we hand him the reed, as we put the scarlet robe on him. We can mock him all day and he can do nothing. They did not know. They did not understand. And maybe you don't either. That he is the Son of God. He come to seek and to save those that are lost. He come to die. And he come to die upon the cross. He suffered all this for you and for me. Suffered all this for you and for me. Not for himself, he was perfect. But these soldiers sure did not understand that all Jesus had to do was speak, and they all would have dropped dead as a rock, stone cold dead, if Jesus just spoke the words. Or he could have called a legion of angels, 10,000 angels, to come down and care for him and destroy the enemy. They thought they had power. Maybe you're thinking that same thing. I've got control of my life. I'm fine. I don't need this Savior. Yes, you do. Please let the Holy Spirit show you, introduce to you. The Comforter's here, the Comforter's present. Let him show you that you need Jesus. And he will. He'll show you who you are. You're not going to like it. But admit it. And then say yes to Jesus, please. Hail, King of the Jews, and understand that he is in control. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?